Well, I hope you picked the place you needed to be to and be at this morning. That's in the house of the Lord. And, well, it's just been good so far. Amen. It's been good so far. And I hope that your week has been went great as we begin this week the big triumphal entry, as we call Palm Sunday, heading into Easter. And a lot has happened, and a lot has happened between those 2 days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 21 this morning, but I want to go ahead and pray again and ask for the Lord to do some things this morning. Father, Lord, as we progress through our service this morning, we do ask that you continue that your attendance would be here. Lord, we know that your Spirit is, and we pray, Father, that you would be with each person here that is in this room, that your way, that your will and your ways may be in each one of them, that we will follow your will and your way. Give us ears to hear what you'd have for us individually and as a church. We love you and we thank you. And in this time, may your will be granted. In Christ's name, amen. So we find that this triumphal entry that Jesus is coming in on this donkey coming in. And so all of them. This is the time when Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. It's the time that they're going to celebrate the Passover. There's a lot of things that is happening. And I want to read from a scripture here from Matthew 21, verse 6. I do want to start there. And it says, The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them, and they brought the donkey and his foal. Then they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest heaven." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in an uproar, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And the question is, who is this? Who is this guy who is coming into Jerusalem with this entourage of people, and they're throwing down branches and clothes, and they're in front of him and behind him, and Jesus is coming, riding in on this donkey, and people are asking, who is this? Well, I want to tell you, people's been asking that question for a long time. People's been asking and wondering, really, who is this Jesus everyone talks about? Why do people go? Why are people going to church on these Sundays and different times of the week? Why do people do that? Why are they doing that for this man named Jesus? I want to share with you today that there were several different types of people that were there when Jesus came on in this triumphal entry as he's coming into Jerusalem, and that span while he's there. There's just so many people that is in that whole situation. We do see the disciples, they're walking with Jesus, and we see that crowd also that is there. We see the crowds there. They went ahead, and they're the ones that are saying, "Hey, this is him. This is the Son of David." And they're throwing out all these clothes and all these branches, and it's just confusing people because nobody gets entourage like that. Maybe a king, maybe somewhat of a judge or somewhat of high position. But who is this guy? Who is this guy? Really, truthfully, who is this guy? And Jesus comes in, he does this, and some of the other gospel said that when he came in that he did weep, that Jesus did cry. Because the people just didn't know what was getting ready to happen. But also, during this moment, we see Jesus goes into the temple, and he does something that seems a little off sometimes, because Jesus is always helping people. He's always healing people. He's always leading people, always sharing people, doing miracles and those things. But it says that, verse 12, Jesus went to the temple and threw out all those buying, selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and then the chairs of those selling doves. And that was all for the sacrifices. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of thieves." So now we see another piece here in this time of the Passover. We see another type of people that's in and around the temple. These are money changers. These are people that today we would say these people, you might not see it directly, but there are people that get involved with the church because it's about the money. It's about money. It is about money. You know, I don't want to put that, if we have a kind of a number, if we wanted to bring somebody in to preach the word, we would do an honorarium piece for them, and we have in the past from time to time, we had a guest, or we do a revival service where we'll do three or four nights of revival, and we'll do an honorary for them. And it's usually, we want to do it and do it in the right way. But when individuals want to come and say, "Hey, I can't come, but I need $5,000 for me to preach," or I think there's a little bit of a problem when you're asking individuals. Individuals are asking, in my opinion, for $5,000, $10,000, and $20,000 to speak. $20,000 to come in and sing about 8 or 10 songs, and I think there's a problem with that. I think there's a problem. And sometimes when we look at this, and well, I have a big name and I'm recognized. Well, I think what sometimes is happening is Jesus' name gets overshadowed by a famous name. Let me tell you, famous people come and they go, but the name of Jesus will stand. I'm telling you, you can go down to a small church down the street sometimes, and you can hear good preaching, you can hear good singing. You know, sometimes you don't need the big church. Sometimes we need big church. It all needs to wrap around Jesus. And here we find out that Jesus sees that these individuals are about the money. Yeah, there's okay. It was okay. They did normally sell, you know, these doves and those kind of things. But if you get more deeper into it, they just kept hiking the prices because it's about the money. And Jesus says that they were money changers. So we got money changers in the scene now. That's what we have. We have money changers in the scene. But also we see in verse 14 that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. They came there, and the scripture says that he healed them. So we have people that are sick. They're blind. They can't walk, and Jesus is healing them. That is a great thing, isn't it? That is a great thing. When you come to the Lord does amazing things. And we see, so now we got the blind and the lame. This crowd is beginning to build with different types of people. Then we see another part of the crowd. Verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonders that he did and the children shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," oh my gosh, they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" So now we have children all running around, and they're praising the Lord, and somebody says they need to shut up. They need to be quiet. Another gospel says, get control of your disciples. Get control of your people. I'm telling Jesus that. Listen, I think Jesus loves it when children sing to him. They're innocent, that they're singing. They're just praising the Lord, and it is amazing to hear when children sing. And here it is. We got people trying to stifle the children. And here it is. We even see that in churches sometimes. And we need to let children be children and let them praise the Lord. That's why we don't let our children. That's why we want our children to be part of the music here. There's times when you go to churches, and that's fine. As soon as they get to church, they go downstairs. They go upstairs. They go in their children's area. But we want our children to be a part of the worship. And they may not get it all, but they get some of it. Amen? And so that they can, then they get some hyped up and they're ready to go down, and their teachers down there can, and they work with them down there. But we want our children to be excited when they come to church. We want them to be excited and praise the Lord. So we see now there's a crowd of children in there as well. So we see this crowd beginning to build. We begin to see the crowd beginning to build. But there was another group that was in this place here also. John tells us a little bit of something that's going on here. There was something that happened just a short time before. And there was this man named Lazarus. And he was dead for 4 days. And Jesus brings him back to life. And that crowd is coming because somebody else is there. It says in John 12:9, it says, "Then a large crowd of Jews learned that he was there." Who was there? And that'd be Lazarus. And they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. So Lazarus is also there. Everybody that's anybody is coming to Jerusalem. So Lazarus is there. And the people heard about this miracle that Jesus did and brought this dead man back to life. So now we got a crowd wanting to see Jesus. They're wanting to see Lazarus too. But the scripture also says to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But verse 10 says, but the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also. You see, there weren't two people that they intended to kill. One was Lazarus, but also Jesus. You see, we forget about Lazarus. If we can kill, we take, because Lazarus is a walking testimony. You see, Satan does that all the time. When God does something amazing in your life and you're following God and God does a great thing in your life, Satan wants to take that out. He wants to take your testimony away. Here it is. We know that these chief priests is another group of people. But here it is. They have decided. This didn't say they were thinking about it. They've already decided prior to this they were going to attempt to kill Jesus. But also says they've also decided to kill Lazarus also. Boy, you're thinking, what? People in the church house can be that devious and that mean and that sinners? Yeah. Doesn't take long to look in the news and you'll find pastors falling here and falling there. And I read one, an accountant in Texas, she embezzled like $80-some thousand. And just, you know, things happen. But it says a chief priest decided to kill him because he was the reason why. Here we go, listen. Because he was the reason, Lazarus was the reason, and Jesus was. Many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. So here's what it's saying. They're saying, here's the reason why a lot of people are leaving these chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Why are they leaving why are they leaving it? Because Lazarus is walking around because of what Jesus did, and now they're beginning to believe in Jesus. One of the worst things we can do is start pointing a finger at other churches down the street. Let God deal with that. Good or bad, let God deal with that. And if they're doing great, say, Lord, great, awesome. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I'm on part of a Facebook page. Once in a while I'll look at it. And it is Southern Baptist pastors only. And I saw something on there yesterday that I was like, what? I said, one guy said, hey, I started with about 27 people, something like that, just a few people. And so basically, that church exploded and did great things. And then some pastors started just saying, why you keep saying I? He didn't really say I. He just said, I started in this church a few years ago. This is where we were. This is what happened. This is what God did. And basically, you got some pastors begin to attack. And the thing is, if God wants big churches, it's okay, amen? God wants little churches, it's okay. We should just be a part of the kingdom of God and be excited. Where the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice, so we should rejoice. And I've been thinking, I'm going to put a piece on it and say, hey, I'm so glad that God is doing amazing things in your church. God bless you, and may He keep blessing you. Instead of jumping on there like these individuals, because why is the chief priest, they were jealous. They were envious of what Jesus was building. And Jesus didn't even have a building. He's just doing and going, and people were believing in Him, and they were following Him, and they were leaving the Sadducees and the chief priests, and they didn't like it. So we had this part. But we also have another group that's coming in. It's like, man, this place is beginning to fill up. Over in verse 20, now we see in John chapter 12, verse 20, now we see Greeks coming in. The Greeks are starting to come in. Do you notice? We see all these different types of people coming in. Look around. We're not all the same age. We weren't all born in the same place. But we all find ourselves together, accumulated, doing this one thing here because of the name of Jesus. You couldn't get us all together for anything else, but for Jesus, we're here. We're here to worship. Amen? So the Greeks said, hey, we want to come too. They knew who God was. Some of the Greeks knew who God was. But here's what we see in verse 20. Now some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival. So there were Greeks, right? They were coming up to the festival to worship God too. So we see them, but they heard the news. They heard something. So they said, so they came up to Philip, right? Who was from Bethesda. In Galilee, and requested of him, sir, we want to see Jesus. Now we got seekers. Now we got what we call today's word, be seekers. People that are seeking out, what is the truth? What is this? Who is this Jesus? And so they wanted to say, who is it? We want to see Jesus. hey, we want to see Jesus. So they're trying to go through somebody that they might know. They're working through it. So Philip goes up and talks to Andrew, and then they get to Jesus, and they're doing all this thing here. And Jesus begins to speak. And we're going to see that we also have another attendee here. I'm just going to skip down to about verse 27. It says, Jesus replied in verse 23. He says some things, but he says in verse 27, now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus says something very profounding. In all this mess, he says this, Father, glorify your name. And the very next verse, we all forget. Some of us just don't even catch it. Here it is. Then a voice from heaven. And the voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. God is there too. He speaks audibly. How do we know that? Because in the next verse, the crowd standing there heard it and said, it was thunder. Another said, it's an angel has spoken. It was an angel who has spoken. So here we see, God is also in the midst as well. And he speaks. Some of us think that only God spoke when Jesus was baptized. There's a few other times, but here's one right here. Right here. Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. And God says, so everyone heard it. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Isn't that amazing? Folks, I want to let you know that the Scripture says where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. You know, I know I'm a believer today. Is there another one here? Hey, there's two right there. So here it is. The Lord is here today. Now, how does that make you feel right now? Now, does God have to speak? No. If he did, it might scare us to death, right? But he is here. I always thought about it back in the day. When you add up your numbers of people, say you had 97, well, you say, wait a minute, we got three more, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, right? Well, we don't do that. So we have the Greeks. And we have God here also as well. But there's something that's sad also happening in verse 42. Jesus says some things are going on. He says this, nevertheless, here it is, nevertheless, many didn't believe in him among the rulers. So we have the rulers. Now, I was talking about the rulers. Most of the people weren't going to believe, but here it is. There were some rulers that believed. That's a good thing. But there's a problem. And this is the problem. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be harmed or banned from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. So what do we see here? We see a group of individuals, these rulers. Here it is. They did not acknowledge, they did not confess the name of Jesus because they were afraid and fearful of the Pharisees. Folks, some of us have done that when it comes to our Thanksgiving, when we know that we have our house is sanctified, we are righteous in Christ, that we are trying to be the people that God's called us to be. We have a family, we have a meal there, but we don't pray because we're afraid of what Uncle John's going to say. We're afraid that Grandpa, because he don't believe it. We're afraid. And listen, in my house, we're going to pray. I don't care who you are, you ever come to my house, and even non-believers, we're going to pray. And even when I go to restaurants with people and I meet with them, even I say, hey, I'm going to pray here. Would you like to join me? Oh, yeah. I never had anybody say no. Never had anybody say no. But I want to tell you, the longer you wait, the more conviction you'll feel. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Confess his name. When you pray, you're confessing it in the crowd of a restaurant. When you're confessing it and you're doing the whatever it is, don't be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Sometimes I pull over, because I'm going someplace, and I was like, oh, there's a parking lot. I got 15 minutes. I'm a little bit way early. Or I'm going to park over here at a park or over here at a parking lot of the store. I'll pull in. I'll just bow my head and start praying to the Lord. People may drive by and say, oh, that man must be crazy. Or he must be, you know, if I'm moving my hands, but must be crazy or whatever it is. I don't care. It's me and the Lord. It's me and his time. If I don't get it in now, I may not get it in for 4 or 5 more hours. Because I get caught up in what I need to do, what I feel like is more important. But I'm telling you, sometimes God will allow you and draw you to a parking space or a parking lot or wherever it is, or you don't leave your driveway for another 10 minutes because you say, listen, Lord, I'm getting ready to start my day. I don't even know how to start my day. And just start talking to Him. Listen. Have a New Testament or a Bible in your door, and your door piece over to the side. Pull it out. Read a couple of scriptures. Say, Lord, speak to me today. Let me tell you, God speaks a lot more than you think He does. Don't be ashamed. These rulers they wouldn't confess Him because here it is. They were fearful they were going to be banned from the synagogue. And listen, and they were going to be. They love the praise of humans. Listen, I would rather walk out of here with peace knowing I did what God has called me to do and the peace than hear everybody say, hey, you did such a great job, whatever it may be, whether we're preaching or we're singing or we're building something or whatever it may be. I would rather hear the praise of the Lord than people. Because if it comes from God, it's always 100% truth. Praise from people is not always 100%. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? Praise from people is not something. I just got to tell them it looks good, but it doesn't. But I'm going to say it looks good, right? So we see all these people. And we see these people coming. So we see the followers of Jesus coming in here. We see the disciples coming in here. And we see these Pharisees. And we see all the people that are looking for the miracles. And there's so much jealousy in the midst. And there's hatred in the midst to kill Jesus, to set Him up. But there's also a lot of love and people not understanding. And some people said He was a prophet. And here it is. But this group was coming in saying, hey, He's the son of David. And so we got it mixed on who He is. But I want to tell you, Jesus knew who He was. Jesus knew who He was. God knew who He was. The Greeks were saying, I want to find out who He is. The chief priests, the Pharisees, says, we know who He is. We don't want Him here. You see, they long ago in their hearts, it wasn't about God anymore. It was about themselves. You want to watch a church fall, just let the church be about themselves. And we have that. We have children running around in the innocence doing the thing that other human beings couldn't do, and they were just praising Jesus, and they got scolded for it. When you do things for God, sometimes you get scolded for it. And there were the sick and the lame wanting a miracle. And all these people were all gathered there. Money changers, last thing on their mind was worshiping God, most of them. Jesus flipping tables. They said, that man just went crazy. But He reminded them, this is a house of prayer. And it goes back to the question that we first asked in the beginning. When He entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in uproar, saying, who is this? Who is this? And the crowds said something. They said, He's a prophet. Ask me the question, who is He? I will tell you, Jesus, He's the Son of God. He's the only Son of God who came from perfection and stayed with perfection. Left the perfected world, heaven, whatever that is, all that, and came down here. Because His Father says He loves the world so much that He offered a sacrifice because I am a sinner. And Jesus came to die as a sacrifice for my sins. He's not a prophet. He's the Son of God. A Savior offered to the world for those who would confess that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the question is to you, who is He to you? Who is this Jesus to you? Are you like the Greeks seeking? Know a little bit about Him, but don't know a lot? And you're seeking Him? The Bible says, if you seek, you shall find. Yeah. There's a time when you're going to have to make a decision on who He is. If I was to look at you and I asked who, and I look at you and I know your name, I can probably describe you to a point. You can describe me to a point. And some of those things would be similar, maybe. Some completely different. But I want to remind you today that there is only one Jesus and one Savior. He is the only one that could be nailed to a cross and give His life for the sins of the whole world. And those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is only for those who reach out and take it. It's a gift. People can hold a gift out to you, but for you to be the receiver, you have to take it. If you are like the Greeks and you're seeking who Jesus is, I want to remind you today that Jesus is exactly who you're seeking. His Spirit is drawing you toward Himself, but He will reveal some things. But He wants you to be in the family of God as well. Maybe you're angry with Jesus because of some things that you're blaming Him for that happened in your life. It's funny how we keep blaming God for things. The world blames Him for everything. Everything that is bad. Listen, it isn't God is bad. It isn't that Jesus is bad. We're bad. We're bad. That's why we need a Savior. The question is, who is He to you? And if I ask you a question, I hope you can answer it. And if Jesus is not your Savior, then He needs to be. Sometimes when we're not living right, we know who He is and we stand off at a distance. It's kind of like when you know you, as a kid, you're supposed to be at home at a certain time and you know by the time you're walking home, you're already in trouble. And you hopefully, it's like, oh boy. Sometimes as Christians, we're like that too. We know where we ought to be with the Lord. We know where we ought to be. Maybe it's time to come home. You know, this question was asked 2,000 years ago, who is He? And it's still being asked today. And I pray today that you got an answer that is biblical. An answer where you and Him are together. An answer where you can say, He is my Savior. He is my Lord. I am His and He is mine. Father, as we take a moment here to break from our preaching, I pray, Father, that we all answer the question, who are you? Who is He? Who is this Jesus? I pray that we all can answer it, that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Redeemer. For anyone that can't answer that today, I pray that your Spirit is burdening them, pulling them to yourself today for salvation. For those who've strayed away, not where they should be with you, I pray, Father, that you would rekindle that fire in their hearts. And for those that need to repent, they would repent for whatever it is they need to repent of. But may we all today be able to answer the question, who is He? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We have a time where we have...